Brothers and sisters, we are so prone to making decisions by our own wisdom and desire and understanding. And when we do, there will be conflict within and conflict without.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And today in our study from the life of Abraham, we'll look at how to deal with our past failures in the flesh, and then how to find victory over them in the future. As we do so, we'll certainly be confronted with the issues of our feelings. And Greg, are our feelings a good guide for how we're to live as Christians?
Well, Dave, we're going to see again and again as we look at the life of Abraham that they are absolutely not a good guide to trust in. But sometimes people need to see from the Word specifically why this is the case. So if you have a Bible handy, turn with us to Genesis 21, and we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 21.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Sarah sins in response and blames Abram for everything. Abram sins in response and then subjugates his authority to his wife. And Sarai sins again, afflicting Hagar to the point that she would run away. There was a lot of sin that came out of this situation. But everything was good. Isaac was born. They were having a feast when he was weaned. Maybe he had some of that food, right? And then we see the situation here. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. This is significant. In the context, Ishmael is mocking Isaac. Take a look here at Galatians chapter 4. The New Testament gives us more insight into this mocking. And let me give you a little context as we go into this. Turn to Galatians 4. We're going to go back and forth in Galatians 4. But the Apostle Paul is very concerned about the Galatian church. They have been led astray by Judaizers. They were those who would come in and say, you got to add these things from the law to be right with the Lord. They had a different gospel and they had a different sanctification that was not of God. And Paul confronted this different gospel. And he confronted their sanctification by the flesh. Who has bewitched you? You began in the spirit, you want to be perfected in the flesh? And in chapter 4, he makes an illustration of those who want to follow the law. Okay, you want to follow the law? Don't you know the law? And he shares this situation to help us understand. Verse 21, chapter 4 of Galatians. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you listen to the law? Now he's going to address their foolishness. Their foolishness in having turned to the law after being justified by faith. He says, verse 22, he's going to explain, for it is written that Abraham had two sons. This is our portion, isn't it? Abraham had two sons. One by the bondwoman, that's obviously Hagar, the slave, and one by the free woman, that's obviously Sarah. And the two sons are Ishmael and Isaac, respectively, right? Then we have the statement in verse 23, but the son by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son by the free woman through the promise. Abraham and Sarah attempted to fulfill God's will by their own wisdom, understanding, and desire, and he went into Hagar and brought a son. It was by the flesh. It was not by God's will and desire. Yet we're going to see God is gracious to Hagar and Ishmael in spite of that, isn't he? But Isaac was the son born through the promise. By no will of man or desire of man did Isaac come forth, but through the promise that God had made, he miraculously brought forth Isaac from Abraham and Sarah. There's no way they could take credit for anything. They were past childbearing years. There's nothing too impossible for God. And now he talks about these two women representing two different covenants. Obviously, the Mosaic covenant and the covenant which was made with Abraham. Verse 24. This is allegorically speaking. Now, the term allegory, we often consider an allegory in our understanding as maybe a true or untrue story that helps illumine something. In Scripture, this allegory is a true analogy. It's not something that could be untrue. It is absolutely true. And I would consider it this way when he says an allegory, or allegorically speaking in a sense, that he is going to use a true example to explain something for us. He says, this is allegorically speaking, for these two women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, that's where the law was given, right? Bearing children who are to be slaves. She is who? Hagar. Now, Mount Sinai is in Arabia, and this corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery in her children. Now, we don't have time to go through this, but the point is he is saying that those Jews currently at this time, in the Galatians' time, they were in slavery to their trying to get righteousness through the law rather than by faith. They were trying to have a right relationship with God through this covenant, which only brought slavery. It was by their own works and their own flesh that they were trying to be right. And he says, that's Jerusalem right now. For she is in slavery with her children. And then notice the contrast, verse 26. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more children are the children of the desolate than the one who has a husband. Verse 28. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. Your salvation did not come forth from your own will and desire. It came forth from God, just as Isaac did. And so with that in mind, we see that those who are of Abraham are children of the promise. But look at this phrase now in verse 29. But as at that time is what time? The time back with Isaac and Ishmael, right? And Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar, right? But at that time, he who was born according to the flesh, that's who? Ishmael, right? Persecuted, that's a pretty strong word, him who was born according to the Spirit. So it is now also. You had the unbelieving Jews of that time who were in bondage to sin because they tried to go to God by their own righteousness, persecuting true believers who were of the promise because they believed in the truth of Jesus Christ. And he says the same thing happened back then. That gives us a little more insight into this mocking, doesn't it? Because we know this is the situation because Hagar and Ishmael will be cast out and gone from this point on. So he's speaking of this situation, and we'll see a little more in Galatians also. So back to our passage, verse 9 in Genesis. Keep your fingers in Galatians also. We're going to go back there a little bit. Hopefully that makes sense, right? So verse 9, now Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. That's why I don't like some translations, because the New Testament illumines the intent of this word. And when someone translates it simply laughter, they're not doing a good job. It's a PL form of this verb, which is intensive. It's not laughing. It's mocking in a sense. And the New Testament says it's actually persecuting. Now, again, there are some translations, older translations, which say that Sarah saw Ishmael playing. Well, that's not, and she's obviously very jealous. That's not the truth. She saw something very evil. She saw Ishmael, this 16-year-old person, mocking Isaac. Mocking Isaac. And we have a better picture of that, the 16-year-old mocking this 2 to 3-year-old, persecuting him. Persecuting. Now, in the context, this mocking most likely concerned probably Isaac as the heir and the promise of God. Verse 10, therefore she said to Abraham, drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. She knows the promise. She's believing. She's walking with the Lord. Ishmael is mocking. He is mocking Isaac, the heir, the promise, this miraculous promised one. It is so obvious that this is a miracle that Isaac came from the Lord in their old age. And Ishmael is mocking. He is persecuting because he is of the flesh. He is of the flesh. And by the way, God does not take lightly to mocking his truth and to mocking him and to mocking those who represent him. Little true story came to mind as I was thinking about this last night. 2 Kings chapter 2. Let's turn there for a second. You see, when he's mocking Ishmael, he's mocking God and his promise, by the way. This is a serious thing. It is serious to make mouths at, to mock the living God and those who represent him, true believers. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23, and this is speaking of Elisha here at this point. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23. Then he went up from there to Bethel. I'll let you get there. 2 Kings 2, verse 23. And as he was going up by the way, young lads came out from the city. Young lads. That sounds kind of about the same age as Ishmael, doesn't it? A lad, right? It's called a lad. He's a young guy, right? Came out from the city and mocked him and said to him, notice they're mocking. Now, he was a prophet, and they knew it, by the way, and that's part of this mocking. Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head. And when he looked behind him and saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then two female bears came out of the woods and tore up 42 lads of their number. And he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. It's a serious thing to mock God, to mock those who represent him. Isaac represents the promise of God. This is not a small thing. It seems like he's maybe laughing at him. It's not a small thing. It's a big thing. And that helps us understand the action that is taken later in this portion of this chapter. We need to see that. We see in Galatians 4:29, but at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. So it is now also. Here the Lord is emphasizing the fact that the son born to Hagar the Egyptian is bringing about this situation. By the way, Abraham and Sarah are reaping consequences of their fleshly decision. Often the consequences of those decisions don't go away, but yet God is gracious. And here we see a principle that the flesh and the spirit can't coexist. They don't. They don't coexist in terms of those who don't know Christ, who are obviously in their flesh, and also within the believer. We can't walk in the flesh and in the spirit at the same time. It doesn't work. Galatians chapter 5, turn there, Galatians chapter 5. Paul's going to make this example as he moves from chapter 4, which we've been looking at, to the reality that you have to not walk by the flesh, but walk by the spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5, verse 16. And again, the flesh is just simply our own will, desires, actions, thoughts, that which is apart from a real relationship with God, a real trusting in him. Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. There's a battle going on within the true believer. Now, for believers, there is also that opposition which comes from those who are in the flesh, those who are not saved, those who are seeking to be right with God by their own wisdom, will, and desire, those religious hypocrites like the Jews of the day. There's going to be friction in that sense, but there's also an internal battle. 1 Peter 2:1, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war with your soul. Those things of yourself that you desire wage war with our true new nature. We have been redeemed. There is a battle between our old nature and new nature. And the two cannot coexist. And this is an illustration of that, that Paul even moves from in chapter 4 to chapter 5. And so I'm confident in my application of this in light of Paul's gospel in Galatians. There's going to be persecution with those who've tried to follow Christ by their own flesh or God by their own flesh. There's also that battle within. So with these conflicts within and conflicts without, how can we get through it? How can we become victorious? How can we not yield to these things? Next, we must understand that the flesh and its results, rightly seen, must be cast out. Must be cast out. Again, back to Genesis, and we're going to go back to Galatians, so keep your hands in both there. Verse 9. Again, now Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. Now, we really know what that means now, don't we? He's mocking God and his promised heir who came forth miraculously. This is a big deal. So there's a great, wonderful banquet. Everything's all happy. But you know what? Now the results of our fleshy decisions are coming back, aren't they? And here it is. Verse 10, therefore, in light of what she saw, Ishmael persecuting Isaac concerning his position as the heir, she said to Abraham, drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be heir with my son Isaac. Now here Sarah commands Abraham to do something. Uh-oh, we got a wife commanding a husband, don't we? Is this okay? A wife telling a husband what to do. Remember, Abraham had listened to the voice of his wife earlier and gotten in big trouble, didn't he? We know that Adam listened to the voice of his wife and got in big trouble, right? Well, we're going to see there's a big difference here. Because in those two instances, the wives were asking them to sin. In this instance, we're going to see she's telling him the right thing in the Lord's eyes to do in light of the situation. Remember this too, this would have never got to this point if they hadn't have yielded to their flesh. There would have been no trouble in the situation, right? There would have been no pain in the situation, nothing, if they wouldn't have followed their flesh, but they did. So here, we have Sarah saying this, and this is quoted back in Galatians. Again, look in Galatians chapter 4, verse 28. And this is how we know that what she's saying is right, and also our passage shows it too. She's saying the right thing in light of the circumstance. She's following Christ. She believed his promise was faithful. A lot of people disparage Sarah in this passage. I don't believe there's a valid reason to do so in this situation. Galatians chapter 4, verse 28. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. Hey, you're of God's working supernaturally. That's how you were saved, not of your own flesh. But as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so it is now also. But what does the Scripture say? Here's the solution. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. Cast it out. That's the solution. There needs to be a separation from the flesh in that sense, as we'll see. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free woman. Paul in Galatians is saying, cast it out. Cast out these things that are of the flesh. Don't be doing these things. Cast it out. And we see a principle in Genesis expounded in Galatians. Get rid of those things that are according to the flesh. Those things that by nature mock faith in Jesus Christ and his promises. Get rid of those. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Brothers and sisters, we are so prone to making decisions by our own wisdom and desire and understanding. And when we do, there will be conflict within and conflict without. Now, we who are following the Lord tend to make these decisions in the sphere of God's will, by the way. They were trying to bring forth an heir. That was what God had said he would do, right? We make them in the sphere of the way we come to church, what we do at church, the churches we choose, the relationships we have, whatever it might be, the job we do, whatever it is, we can be prone to trusting in our own wisdom, ability. We need to confess those things and cast them out. Separate from them. Hack up Agag, as if you know that true story from the Old Testament. Separate from them. Cast out the bondwoman. Cast it out. Don't rely on your own wisdom, strength, and ability to walk with the Lord. Don't do it. Apart from him, John chapter 15, 4, we can do nothing. 2 Corinthians 3, 5, we are not adequate to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. We need to remind ourselves in every area of our lives, or there will be conflict, there will be trouble. And when we find that we have yielded to these things, we need to let them go and cast them out. And I want to ask you, are there any areas in which you have relied on your own wisdom, understanding, and ability, and not truly trusted and relied in Christ? Things that are of God, even. We need to say no to self and yes to the Lord in the context of obedience to His word. We need to die to ourselves. Whether it's something you're tempted in now or whether it's something you have yielded to in the past, decisions you have made, we need to break ties with the flesh and the decisions that we made. We need to cast out the bondwoman. And the results may be incredibly painful to do that. You think it was painful for Abraham to see his son go? We're going to see that in a minute. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I need to share a caveat before you might run out and make a foolish decision. I'm not telling you if you made a mistake, for instance, marrying someone, that you go out and cast them out and marry someone else. I'm not saying that. We don't break God's principles to do what God says. The same thing if you had a baby out of wedlock. You don't cast out that baby because of that sin. Cast out your reliance on the flesh. Repudiate what you did and do what is right. And do what is right. This is a unique situation to Abraham and Sarah in the context of the promise. And it is an example that Paul uses in the New Testament for us in regards to relying in the flesh or relying in the Spirit. That's the point he's going to make in chapter 5 of Galatians. We need to stop relying on our own flesh, casting those things out and walk by His Spirit. Is there any area you need to cast out? The bondwoman. Whether it's at home, whether it's at work, whatever. You've made a decision to do something by your own wisdom and strength. Cast it out. I have a lot of examples I can share. But I think you have them already in your hearts. Because we are all tempted in these areas to trust in our own wisdom. To really, truly rely on it rather than what God has said. So how do we deal with our failures or keep from failing? Obviously, we need to understand the flesh and spirit cannot coexist. There's going to be conflict in that. We need to stop relying on the flesh and cast it out. And next, we need to not follow our feelings. I always find people are always saying, well, I feel this or that. No. Don't follow our feelings, but let God's word encourage us to obey. This is an amazing portion back in chapter 21, verse 11. Look at this verse. And the matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. Sarah says, cast out the bondwoman and the son, for he shall not be the heir. Abraham, do it. Right? And the matter distressed. Now, I don't really like this translation of the word distressed here. It's not the best translation in the NSB. You could literally translate this verse this way. And the matter was exceedingly evil in the eyes of Abraham because of his son.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. Greg, how does a believer know if he's making decisions or operating in the flesh or the Spirit?
You know, Dave, that's a great question, and the reality is, are you leaning on your own understanding, whether it's your street smarts or abilities or feelings or emotions? Or are you trusting in God's word, believing what He said and applying that to each and every decision? You see, we're to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We're not to lean on our own understanding. In every way, we are to acknowledge Him, and He will make our path straight. It really comes down to, do I believe the word of God, and do I trust the God of the word, or am I relying on my own wisdom or abilities? You see, our conduct and decision-making must be consistent with God's word in the context of a reliance and abiding in Christ. Brother and sister, how do you make your decisions? Do you take everything and lay it across what God has said and then trust in Him, or do you rely on your own wisdom? If the latter is true, it's time to confess, and God will forgive you and start walking by the Spirit, and then you will not carry out the desires of the flesh.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.